The Baltimore Ravens face off with the Denver Broncos in week 13 of the 2022 season. We dive into our full game preview of the matchup coming up next year on Locked On Ravens.
You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. We're here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much for tuning in with us, making us your first listen of the day, free and available on all platforms, including over on YouTube. So be sure to subscribe on YouTube, like this video, be sure to follow along Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the whole nine yards in audio form. And today's episode of Locked On Ravens is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline, as we covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet online, where the game starts. And for this Ravens football team, they are 7-4 off of that Jacksonville loss in week 12. Here to talk about week 13 and turning the page is former Baltimore Ravens wide receiver, Super Bowl champion, Kadri Ismail. And Q, I know that Jacksonville game disappointing in multiple different ways. The offense can't get started for three quarters. The defense cannot close out the game in the fourth quarter. They have an opportunity to bounce back here, but they first have to understand and realize what went wrong in week 12.
So I don't know if this is deja vu all over again. It's not over till it's over. The bottom line comes down to it that you have to figure out how to play up to your level of expectations and dominance rather than playing down to the level of your competition and allowing them to hang around and then realizing that it's too little too late because the clock strikes zero. And now all of a sudden you're saying we coulda, shoulda, woulda. This is what this Ravens team has been about, the woulda, coulda, shoulda. And you got four games that you know if you just do one or two critical plays, but important plays the right way, this whole season looks completely different. You're the number one seed in the AFC. You're dominating the whole nine yards, but instead here we are, 7-4, trying to figure things out.
Yeah, and I know we talked about it, Q, especially earlier in the year with those losses, where I think for people it's so frustrating, not because the Ravens got blown out, because they didn't, but because they had opportunities to win this game early on offense. They could not get anything going. The defense kind of held a minute for the first three quarters, but then 18 points given up. You just cannot do that in the fourth quarter. The last three possessions for Jacksonville, touchdown, field goal, touchdown with the two-point conversion there. If you had to place blame, Q, and I know it's a team effort, right? You win and you lose as a team, coaches, players, etc. But if you had to look more on the offensive side of the ball, not getting started early, the defensive side of the ball, blowing the game late, which one do you place more blame?
I mean, blowing a game late. The bottom line, you don't win the game in the first quarter. I mean, you could certainly lose it, but you win by, in that fourth quarter, being in control, knowing that you have a lead, not, you know, playing conservative, going out there and executing and dominating and really giving the other team no life. That's kind of the model that should be. And instead, you didn't have that model. You had a model where it was, hey, man, we're good. Trevor Lawrence, you know, he's not what we thought he was. And, obviously, his receivers aren't going to be able to make the necessary plays. All we got to do is just go out there on the field, and that's it. And everything will just take care of itself. And that's just not it. I'm still kind of like just scratching my head on that fourth and eight. I mean, my God, man, like fourth and eight. You have them game over, and he throws a dime. And his receivers were stepping up, too, and balling. And, you know, you could – say what you will about the Ravens and their passing attack or lack of or all the other things. The bottom line comes down to it is that when it mattered the most, the Baltimore Ravens defense didn't step up.
Right. And I know when looking back at the offense, Q, many people, myself included, look at the red zone. And this has been a team that's been very inconsistent in the red zone throughout the entire season. Right now, they're currently ranked 24th in the NFL in touchdown conversion percentage. If you look at the last 3 weeks, that number drops to 29th with under 40% conversion rate. You can't have that and expect to win, especially when, look, no shade to Carolina, no shade to Jacksonville, but those are not the Buffaloes or the Kansas Cities or the Miamis of the AFC. Now, you have this game, Q. The Ravens go 2-5 in the red zone. They leave 12 points on the board in a one-point loss. They've relied heavily on Justin Tucker, who, you know, if you want to rely on a kicker, he's the guy, but you want to score touchdowns. You don't want to rely on him to kick those field goals to the Jacksonville 10-yard line. The Jacksonville 12-yard line. How do you take what happened in this game and throughout the course of the regular season so far, and how do you fix this red zone offense to be more consistent?
So, you know, that's something that, you know, I look at, and I'm looking at, you know, all the stats and things that you're presenting. And I look like at the good teams that I've seen historically over the years, especially the Sean Payton led New Orleans Saints with Drew Brees and the way he was able to just execute. The seam routes and the way in which they would do combos and Drew Brees would get rid of the ball and find those little holes in the defense. You know, there's a ton of preparation and planning that goes along with red zone production. And it's to the point where you get so confident in the way in which you can play. I mean, we were talking last year where it's what was it? The Pittsburgh game. And we're like, my God, we dissected the last few seconds of the game and, you know, what could have, should have, would have been. And if they would have, you know, like Mark Andrews has to make that play. And again, it's all coming back again this year. Like it just seems like when they get close after 2019, it just kind of all kept going in the other direction, downhill. And I think we're at rock bottom right now. We just see a team that, for whatever reason, is not executing the play calling. And then for whatever reason, there's times where, you know, the play calling, you're left scratching your head. It's a little bit of both. I think that's the weird thing about all this as far as red zone production.
Yeah, and they have, I think, the personnel to do it, but we have seen some of the questionable play calling, questionable execution overall from this team. So
Marcus Robinson just gets the ball.
And Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews had one of those drops.
You are supposed to be all pro. All pro.
And we've seen that over the past couple of weeks. It's not even just the Jacksonville game. Coming out of the bye at Carolina, we had multiple drops by multiple different receivers. Obviously, a lot has been made of Lamar Jackson's deep ball accuracy this year. He had the credit to him, the 62-yard pass to DeSean Jackson. Pretty ball. Very, very pretty ball by Lamar Jackson. Great catch by DeSean Jackson. But, I mean, is this a mental thing, Q, in terms of these drops of these receivers? I mean, we've seen them be better, but you just can't have that if you want to continuously sustain drives on offense.
So I think it sometimes comes down to the word concentration as far as like this swagger of just knowing who you are. You know, that's where I think the Mark Andrews issues kind of get me because, you know, you look at like a Travis Kelce and or Kittle and, you know, I really can't think of any other tight end that is kind of up on that level of Mark. I know there are some people on Twitterverse that want to debate some stupid names, but good guys, but they're not on the level of Mark Andrews. The point I'm making is that there is, yeah, a swagger that to your name and to your game. And that's why you're being paid the amount of money that you're being paid is because you got this opportunity to really take it to the next level and be exceptional. Exceptional is when your number is called, you're just always delivering. And I'm at a loss for the lack of delivering when it comes to what we've seen from Mark Andrews. And I don't know why. I don't know if it could be the injury. I do know that, you know, this game is not played at 100%. Once training camp is over with, you're about, you know, that 75 to 80% if you're lucky, and it just goes downhill from there. You know, this time of the year, if you got guys playing at 60%, my God, man, you're living large. But then I look at, you know, those special plays like Travis Kelce be making? And I'm like, man, that's easily. Mark can do those things easily. Why are we not seeing it? And that's the frustration.
Right. And Andrews is all world at his position, 100%. One of the best, if not the best, tight ends in this league. But I do think that when you're a defense, so if we're looking at this and Q, we're an opposing defense right now, you know, you're focusing your game plan on stopping Mark Andrews in the pass game. Because while Devin Duvernay can make stuff happen, we've seen him with the ball in his hands. The number one guy that scares you is Mark Andrews. So if defenses say, hey, you know, we're going to phase him out and they're, you know, checking him at the line, they're double covering him, using safety up over top, whatnot, he still beats that. Like, he's good enough where he can beat that. So I think people just want to see more consistency. But this goes back to the conversation we have had about the offense that goes to the tight ends, right? The pass offense is not going through these wide receivers, especially in a Greg Roman-led offense. Now, Stanford, we'll see how that thing all plans out right now. But yeah, I know this is where people look at it and say, Lamar needs a number one guy. Lamar needs Stephon Diggs, needs a DeAndre Hopkins, needs a Debo Samuel, a DK Metcalf, et cetera. But will that guy be used in this offense? I still think it's worth it to get one. Obviously, I know the Odell Beckham saga is continuing. We've had that conversation before, Q. So we'll see what happens. But we have a game to talk about in Denver. We will talk about that game coming up in our second segment, starting off with the Ravens offense going up against that Denver defense. So be sure to stay tuned. Still a ton to dive into here on the show. But first, this episode is sponsored by Prize Picks, and I'm looking forward to a big fantasy week this week. Hopefully I've been on a good track, but if you want a different twist on fantasy, be sure to check out Prize Picks. And Prize Picks is super easy to use. You can have a ton of current entries as well. And how it works is you pick 2 to 5 players, and if they will go score more or less in their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It says numerous projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch, including the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, college basketball, and more. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. They have safe and fast withdrawals, and they're currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. You deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to the promo code Locked On and sign up for an instant deposit match of up to $100. We're back here. Our second segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Allstriker is still here with Kadri Ismail. And Q, for this Ravens team, they're going up against the Denver defense. If we're starting off with the Baltimore offense, that actually boasts a very good pass defense. They are third in the NFL in pass defense right now. Their run defense is, I think that's the area you definitely want to exploit if you're the Ravens. They currently only have the 19th best run defense. So I think if you want to pick an area, you start off with the run game. But how do you start this offense off quickly in this game? Because they haven't started off quickly in either of the last two games, and I think it's impacted their ability to really do a lot.
Yeah, you know, I think passing the ball is because of what the defense is doing and recognizing, look, if we let this offense kind of get kickstarted via the run and they run it down our throats, we're going to be in for a long day. So I see what defenses are doing, you know, whether it be a spy on Lamar or whether what they've been doing is, you know, John Harbaugh alluded to it. They've been playing a lot of games with the linebacker and the end and just like, hey, we're just going to go. We're going to rush upfield, and then we're going to have the linebacker kind of play on that outside flow at the end of the line, or we'll have it vice versa where the linebacker is now rushing upfield and the end kind of occupies the tackle and then kind of fluffs off. All those little details, you know, what they've done, they mean the Ravens have done to counteract that. It's like, all right, screw it. We just go ahead and pass the ball. And they've been successful, but we just talked about in the first segment as far as the inconsistencies of the drops and things. And I think it spills over into your rhythm. So the play calling, as far as the first quarter is concerned, I'm not tripping too much. I just think that the lack of execution stalls out drives. And that's something where, I mean, we got spoiled with everything. You know, the way in which we've seen the phenomenal runs of Lamar Jackson and then the running game and all of it. You know, I think that's what we're just not seeing in what should be a really potent offense to start off games.
And going off of that, I have a question, and it's more related to the offense-defense trade-off. Is there anything in your mind, Q, that maybe says these slow starts are contributing to maybe the defense tiring out later in games? Is that anything that crosses your mind, or is that more of just a moot point?
You're saying you're wondering whether or not the slow starts help the opposing team's defense?
Whether it hurts Baltimore. So if the Ravens offense goes three and out, and the defense is on the field.
No. Like any defensive guy is going to tell you, it doesn't matter what our offense does. We got to go out there and do our job. Because think about it. If you go three and out, but if your defense holds and goes three and out, it's a wash. So it's all about what you do. You got to do your job and put yourself in position. Get a pick. Strip the ball. Cause a fumble, all those things that lends itself to a short field for an offense and puts points up on the board, which then puts pressure back on the offense that you're facing, which means that the offensive coordinator is probably going to try to pass the ball more or do something that literally should play right back into your hands. It's just the way it is. So, I do not think it is any indication that the offense isn't playing well and the defense is being affected by that. If you are a good defense, you get other teams off the field and you don't worry about your offense. Not in that regard, anyway.
It's a fair point. And we'll talk about the defense more in the final seven, but I do want to go back to offense and just – Q, what do you want to see out of Lamar Jackson in this game? I know we are far past the first 3 weeks of the season where he was at the top of the MVP conversation. The box score stats were popping, but it goes far beyond the box score. Even when Lamar Jackson is not having those 300-yard passing games and 5 touchdown games, he still is impacting the game. But what do you want to see from him, especially early on?
Well, I kind of want to see a flair. I think guys feed off of that flair. Devontae Freeman is not coming through that door, and hallelujah. But I think what we saw last year that was so frustrating to me is that you didn't really see anything outside of a 7-yard gain, and you were happy about it. Now this year, there's been some Gus Edwards awesomeness. There has been some J.K. awesomeness. And to a certain degree, Justice Hill as well. I'm not saying that, the running game hasn't been spectacular, but I don't know. I mean, I guess the Miami game is the last game I really saw Lamar Jackson like explode out and like, oh wow, man, that just was unreal. Maybe the Tampa game came coming out of the half. But I think they get just infused with this swagger when Lamar does what Lamar does. And so don't give me the whole, oh, well, Lamar is asked to do everything. No, just allow your offense to groove and flow, and then you hit it and go. That's what I think, and that's what I'm seeing as far as getting things started. The bottom line is capture the momentum now. This is a Denver defense that's extremely good. Capture the momentum now. Even if it is a big play of his arm strength and talent, drop a dime. Like if he dropped that dime against Jacksonville to Marcus Robinson, D. Rob would have been like, yo, what's up? And if they would have scored or if they had been in the red zone, that would have set the tone in my mind for the rest of the game.
Yeah, and having that start early, and I know we talked about it a ton when the Ravens had the slow start issue early in the season, but even going back to I know we're not in 2019 or even 2020 anymore, but the Ravens would get out to these 14-3 really early leads, and it would put the opposing offense in a hole, and it would make the Ravens offense be able to capitalize off of that. And that's where we would see the Tyler Huntley times where he's coming in the fourth quarter because the Ravens are up by so much, or the Jackson fives, a fast start is really, really important. But Q, some other stats I'll throw out to you here about this Denver defense is they're very good in terms of average time and drive stats. So by that, I mean, they only give up 26.6 yards per drive. That's first in the NFL, only 1.49 points per drive. That is second. And the average time per drive, they're eighth in the NFL in terms of that, with 2 minutes and 43 seconds. So how important is it for the Ravens to sustain some of these 7-minute, 8-minute, 9-minute drives and gas out that Denver defense?
Problem is with the Denver defense, them dudes are no joke on third down. I mean, they get off the field. So I hate to say it, but you can't have dumb penalties. You can't, you know, have technical issues up in the booth, getting a play call down, and then with the 15-second clock, you know, so you're I don't know, was that throwing him under the bus? Saying that, look, you know, the play gets called with 15 seconds, it shuts off, so you got 15 seconds left, and then it's up to Lamar and them? I mean, what? I don't know. Bottom line is there's a rhythm that you need to have, and if you're talking like those sustained drives, that first and second down best be like next level, and if it's next level, then, yeah, you can get yourself in that third and two or third and three. You got flexibility. You got a Devin Duvernay jet sweep. You got a quick game pass to D-Rob. You got something to Mark Andrews. You got an option of a run pass option at your disposal, whether it be JK or whomever is active this week. You know, you got Lamar being able to run the ball as well. That's because you took care of business on first and second down, and you even got a free first down just by the way you were sprinting on first down. You got a 15-yard gain or whatever. You moved the ball. That's the point I'm trying to make. And is Denver teetering on the brink? I think they are. I think that they have some frustrations that are just spilling over. I know one thing, psychological warfare-wise, they're like, man, we just need to go and get away from home and let's be in a hostile environment. This is an opportunity for us. They could say all those buzzword things, and that works. So I just made a long answer longer. I don't know. All I know is to sustain big-time drives, you best execute. That's the bottom line, execution.
Yep, converting on third down, even converting on a fourth down. Maybe the Ravens go for it on a fourth and one, fourth and two situation. We've obviously seen them be aggressive in those situations before, but it also is going to be up to the defense in terms of how this game goes. We'll dive into that coming up next on Locked On Ravens, so don't go anywhere. Still a ton to talk about. But first, this episode is brought to you by Audible. Audible is releasing a slate of new football podcasts that we're sure you're going to love. Find Think Like a Champion now wherever you get your podcasts. Think Like a Champion is a brand new podcast from Russell Wilson and Audible. Russ is a champion on the field, but off of it, we rarely know the grind on the path to greatness. Russell Wilson, alongside co-host Harry Wilson and the late Trevor Mauer, dig into how high-performance athletes, artists, and leaders push the boundaries of their potential. Hear two-time Super Bowl champion and MVP Von Miller deliver sharp insights about performing at your highest level in moments of extreme pressure, or NCAA champion Tim Tebow discuss how to find your unique personal mission in the world. Head over to Locked On Presents for a sneak peek of Think Like a Champion, or catch the full series available anywhere you get your podcasts. Available everywhere now. Audible, get in the game. We're back, rounding out Locked On Ravens here on Purple Friday, ahead of the Ravens Week 13 matchup with the Denver Broncos. Kevin Allstriker is still here with Kadri Ismail. And Q, on the defensive side of the ball, we have seen this defense have amazing performances, but the problem has been consistency in some of these games, playing a full 60 minutes. I know in the Jacksonville game, Calais Campbell gets that strip sack where the balls are covered by Jacksonville. They're in a third and 21. And I think at that point, the Ravens defense says there's no way they're going to convert this third and 21 in two downs. But what happens is the Ravens play super soft. The Jaguars get 16 yards on third down and are able to convert that fourth and five. And it just felt like they let their foot up off of the gas. Now in this game, the Denver offense has been the worst offense in the NFL this year. The Russell Wilson trade has not worked out nearly as well as they thought it would be. They are the 24th best pass offense in this league. They are the 25th best rush offense. So you're right at the bottom 10 of the league in both pass offense and rush offense. If you're Denver, this is a game that on paper, Q, the Ravens should be able to dominate, but how do they do that? How do they be consistent?
I think frustration, so the us against them mentality, the frustration has to be big time, just, you know, Justin Houston coming off the edge, whoa, you know, set the tone early. A Roquan Smith, you know, we trying to run the ball, wow, nothing, you know, PQ just like, you know, just knife in air, tackle for loss. The Marcus Peters, everybody's going to try me. Oh, okay, let me go ahead and show y'all who y'all messing with. You know, pick six. then you're in the mind of the Denver Broncos offense, like, hey, Russell, I don't think we're ready for this. And that's where I think it has to be early. It has to be like they can look at the fourth quarter stuff all they want, but they're not that good of a team. They're not that type of team. If this Ravens defense decides to come and hit them in the mouth, I think that they'll fold real quick.
Yeah, and Denver's going through a bunch of personnel changes right now. I mean, the running back position, they move on from Melvin Gordon. Chase Edmonds, who they traded for, he's on injured reserve right now. I mean, they're looking at potentially Mike Boone and Latavius Murray, a former friend over in Baltimore. Latavius Murray over there in Denver, who I think has played decently well for him overall. But then wide receiver-wise, Jerry Jeudy has two DNPs so far this week. You have KJ Hamler with two DNPs. So it's looking like the Courtland Sutton show at wide receiver. And then not much else. Now, the secondary, Marlon Humphrey, has played great football this year. But do you have any concern level with Marcus Peters right now? And how if he has to go up against these secondary guys or even be matched up with Sutton on the outside, he'll be able to perform? Because, I mean, he's been in the area of a lot of completions this year.
You know, it's weird. It's like he's been aggressively lazy. He's been right there, but it's like, you see where it's like either push the guy, pick him up, push him out of bounds, or be aggressive and try to punch the ball out. It's like, oh, you caught it. You're not supposed to catch it over me. And you see this demonstrative like feeling, but like, I'm like, okay, like where is the Marcus Peters that intercepts the ball or where is the Marcus Peters that is not passing in a fear or holding a guy and just using his technique? You know, I don't know. Maybe I know they gave him a little bit of rest this week from practice element of all and gave him a vet day. So hopefully, you know, that's something that he can utilize to his advantage. Marcus Peters is a guy that I think needs to have a good game and a fast start and kind of redeem himself.
Yeah, and I know when you're talking about fast starts, I mean, is this the week we see Adafe Owe Q? He's been someone who a lot of expectations coming into the year. He was going to be operating as that number one Baltimore pass rusher. He has been missing in action for almost all of the season. He's been held on a lot of plays, and I know it's been less noticeable because Justin Houston is just playing incredible football this year. But what do you make of Adafe Owe right now? I know I've asked you the question before, but here we are 12 weeks into the season, and we haven't really seen much.
I don't know. Technique-wise or position-wise, is it Adafe Owe's responsibilities as far as is he just a pure rush side guy? If he's a pure rush side guy, that's when you got to just say, hey, me, ball carrier, let's go. If you have other responsibilities and it's too much for you mentally and it's causing you to think, and on defense, no one who thinks plays well. It's a reaction. It's like, I just have a knowingness. I know in this formation, they're coming out with these things. Let's go. I don't know if he is in a position where he's feeling like he can just thrive and go and not get caught up in all the smoke and drama of everything. So that's what concerns me when I look at Adafe Owe and his play. I'm like, all right, bud. You know, are you really like you good? You know, what is it? I know there's been talk about it, David Ajabo, and obviously Tyus Bowser. The dude be coming in there and playing. Like, dude came in and playing. So you supposed to be more talented than Tyus. Okay, what are we doing? That kind of strikes me a little bit, and I'm honestly concerned with Ajabo. I'm honestly concerned with Bowser, and I'm honestly wondering whether or not they're going to take away that Adafe Owe playing time because of the fact that, hey man, your meter is just kind of hovering. You've not made those impact plays that we've been expecting.
Right, and I don't think this is a, oh, we're giving up on a Dafe Owe type deal, but if he is not contributing, you know, I think you have to find people who are slash will. And for Owe, you know, he was a former first rounder. This is his second season. Not everybody has good years every single season, but to the degree he has struggled this season, I think has shocked many people. Against Denver, I think the pass rush is very important. Baltimore ranked in the top five in sacks this season. A lot of that does come from Houston, but you have some interior presence with Calais Campbell, Justin Madubuike. You have Marlon Humphrey getting sacks here. He has two sacks on the season now. So the Ravens are able to get some of that pressure. Denver's offensive line is not great this year. Russell Wilson has a bit of mobility to him, but I think you're able to still get him down on the ground. And if you're able to force the Broncos into those second and longs, those third and longs, and force them to air it out to a receiver core outside of Cortland Sutton, maybe not a lot of people know the names in that receiver group. I think that's going to be key for him, definitely. But Q, let's get to predictions now. Baltimore, again, they suffered a tough loss. I think this is a perfect bounce back game situation for them. But as we talked a bit about before the show started, they can't view it that way. They have to view it as this is a team that's going to be tough, that's going to play them tough. So do you think Baltimore comes out and gets back on track in this one?
So what do we say would get back on track? We thought, you know, Carolina get back on track. You know, we thought when it came to putting points up, there are opportunities in Jacksonville. Delay a game, lightning, rain, all that doesn't matter. Jacksonville did what it necessarily needed to do. I think when it comes to this game, you just can't play boring football. You can't. You got to play like aggressive, you know, just stylistically look cool football. Get some swagger. That's what I'm saying. Defensively, you need to like just smash them into the ground. I think this has to be a statement game. Honestly, this has to be a statement game. This is a statement game that, yeah, we still got some division opponents we got coming up. We don't want them to think that they can hang with us. Pittsburgh ain't going to be sitting there feeling sorry for us. Last time I checked, you know, Deshaun Watson and company are going to try to do some things. Did Joe Burrow? Yeah, Joe Burrow. He doesn't have his full complements of his group, but yet at the same time, he's producing. This has to be a statement game, period. This is a screw the must-win business because you're supposed to win, especially against the Broncos. But the statement game is you need to have a complete game. I'm looking for a complete game in the likes of 24-14 will be a complete game in my mind for this Ravens ball club.
Yeah, people are looking for that wire-to-wire victory. I know the Saints game is closest to what we saw there in terms of pure domination, but we haven't seen that, you know, 40-0 game or that, you know, 35-3 game, which I know a lot of people got accustomed to over the course of the early portion of the Lamar Jackson tenure, especially during that 2019 season. But again, we're not in 2019. The Ravens have to continue to try to find ways to win with their current roster. I think the Ravens win this one. It would be absolute disaster if they didn't win this one and win it convincingly. I'm going to say 28-20, but Denver scores a late touchdown. So technically like 28-13 with like a garbage time Denver touchdown on the board there. For the sake of predictions, I will go 28-20. And it's a game where, yes, I agree. If the Ravens squeak this one out by like 1 point or 3 points, they would have won the game, but it's not inspiring a ton of confidence in terms of, all right, what happens when Buffalo comes to town? What happens when Kansas City comes to town? Because those teams won't play necessarily the struggling way that Russell Wilson has, because you have Josh Allen, you have Patrick Mahomes, you know, Tua, Joe Burrow, et cetera. So you have to be able to put a statement game out on the board now against the team that has been reeling. And that in itself will, I think, breed confidence for later weeks when you have to go up against the Pittsburghs, go up against the Clevelands, the Cincinnati's, et cetera, as you look to continue to strengthen your grip on the division overall. But Q, I appreciate you. That's all I have for you here today on Locked On Ravens. And again, hopefully Baltimore is able to move this record to 8-4 and get back on track. They still have potential as a football team, but they have to prove it here in week 13.
Prove it. Proven time. This is moving season. When you're in December, this is it. There's no sloppy football, no more excuses, no more nothing. You right where you need to be, you better finish.
Yep, finishing and being able to start fast as well is very important. Both sides of it, both sides of the coin. So first, second, third, and fourth quarters, got to put together a solid sound effort overall. But that's all I have for you here today on Locked On Ravens. Thank you so much for tuning in. When we get back here on Monday, we'll be diving into everything that happened in that Ravens and Broncos game, recapping it all. So be sure to stay tuned for that. And I will see you back here on Monday.